Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Poziom rozszerzony. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie teksty do zadań od pierwszego do trzeciego. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz dźwięk. W nagraniu przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z poleceniami oraz treścią zadań sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania w trakcie słuchania nagrań oraz w czasie przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One.
Welcome to Manchester Museum. On this device, there are 21 tracks which provide descriptions of all the exhibits and will help you find your way around. The first track gives information about how to use the device. You should already have received instructions from the museum staff, but if you need a reminder, please listen to track one. If not, skip to track two, where you will hear a short introduction. Track 3 is about finding your way around the museum. The remaining tracks provide details of all the exhibits. We hope you enjoy your visit.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Welcome to Manchester Museum. On this device, there are 21 tracks which provide descriptions of all the exhibits and will help you find your way around. The first track gives information about how to use the device. You should already have received instructions from the museum staff, but if you need a reminder, please listen to track one. If not, skip to track two, where you will hear a short introduction. Track three is about finding your way around the museum. The remaining tracks provide details of all the exhibits. We hope you enjoy your visit.
Two. Here is a message for the residents of Derbyshire. A recent routine check by the local water supplier has revealed increased chlorine levels. The authorities have been informed of the situation and are monitoring it. Residents are advised not to use tap water for drinking or for washing. High levels of chlorine are potentially harmful to health, so bottled water should be used instead. The problem is being investigated by the water supply company, and a further update is expected later today.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Here is a message for the residents of Derbyshire. A recent routine check by the local water supplier has revealed increased chlorine levels. The authorities have been informed of the situation and are monitoring it. Residents are advised not to use tap water for drinking or for washing. High levels of chlorine are potentially harmful to health, so bottled water should be used instead. The problem is being investigated by the water supply company, and a further update is expected later today. Three.
I was on my way to work on the tube during the rush hour. I stood to one side to let an elderly lady pass by and ended up blocking a man for a moment. He pushed me, almost knocking me over, and mumbled some insults. Despite this bad start to my day, it was business as usual at work. I had the first interview scheduled for 9:30 a.m. Imagine my astonishment when the man from the tube entered the room. I knew he recognised me as well. He must have felt unbelievably awkward. To start the conversation, I asked if he'd had a good commute. We both laughed, and in a very British way, I somehow ended up apologising. This might have made the man think that he would get the job, but we chose somebody else. The encounter on the tube had nothing to do with it. He just wasn't right for the position we were offering.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
I was on my way to work on the tube during the rush hour. I stood to one side to let an elderly lady pass by and ended up blocking a man for a moment. He pushed me, almost knocking me over, and mumbled some insults. Despite this bad start to my day, it was business as usual at work. I had the first interview scheduled for 9:30 a.m. Imagine my astonishment when the man from the tube entered the room. I knew he recognized me as well. He must have felt unbelievably awkward. To start the conversation, I asked if he'd had a good commute. We both laughed, and in a very British way, I somehow ended up apologizing. This might have made the man think that he would get the job, but we chose somebody else. The encounter on the tube had nothing to do with it. He just wasn't right for the position we were offering.
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
Have you heard about a building in London that burns cars and melts the elements of nearby buildings? Let's listen to some opinions about the building often called Walkie Scorchy. 1.
Look at that building. With just a 2-second glance at the blueprint, I could have told you that you were going to have a problem with it. I wonder why not one person with even a basic level of understanding of how light gets reflected said anything when the skyscraper was being built. I believe the architect needs to be taken to court for constructing it, and the council officials who approved the design should be removed from office.
2. It is clear that Walkie Scorchy is a failure. A building that reflects light and causes damage to the surrounding area is undoubtedly the architect's fault. I believe a series of solar panels could be built on the other side of the street to capture this light. Anyway, the architect also designed the Kimmel Center in Philadelphia. There are many problems with that building, too many to detail here. It's enough to say lawsuits were filed against him, and the court battle lasted for years. 3.
I hate tall buildings because of safety and ecological issues, and the Walkie Scorchy is no exception. This building is ugly to look at and dangerous. Definitely something must be done promptly to change its outside walls so that they don't reflect light to such an extent. We can't just wait around. The problem is not going to go away. The people responsible have to make Walkie Scorchy safe for the surrounding area, and they have to do it now.
4. The Walkie Scorchy is just another ugly and dysfunctional building that litters the London skyline. Not only does it look horrible, but it's also dangerous to objects nearby. Just look at some other examples. A well-known architect constructs a building shaped like a corn cob. Another one builds a skyscraper that looks like a glass shard. London has become a giant playroom full of the discarded toys of architectural amateurs. The sad conclusion is that the public will be forced to look at these dreadful constructions for the rest of their lives.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Have you heard about a building in London that burns cars and melts the elements of nearby buildings? Let's listen to some opinions about the building often called Walkie Scorchie. 1.
Look at that building. With just a 2-second glance at the blueprint, I could have told you that you were going to have a problem with it. I wonder why not one person with even a basic level of understanding of how light gets reflected said anything when the skyscraper was being built. I believe the architect needs to be taken to court for constructing it, and the council officials who approved the design should be removed from office.
2. It is clear that Walkie Scorchie is a failure. A building that reflects light and causes damage to the surrounding area is undoubtedly the architect's fault. I believe a series of solar panels could be built on the other side of the street to capture this light. Anyway, the architect also designed the Kimmel Center in Philadelphia. There are many problems with that building, too many to detail here. It's enough to say lawsuits were filed against him, and the court battle lasted for years. 3.
I hate tall buildings because of safety and ecological issues, and the Walkie Scorchie is no exception. This building is ugly to look at and dangerous. Definitely something must be done promptly to change its outside walls so that they don't reflect light to such an extent. We can't just wait around. The problem is not going to go away. The people responsible have to make Walkie Scorchie safe for the surrounding area, and they have to do it now.
4. The Walkie Scorchie is just another ugly and dysfunctional building that litters the London skyline. Not only does it look horrible, but it's also dangerous to objects nearby. Just look at some other examples. A well-known architect constructs a building shaped like a corn cob. Another one builds a skyscraper that looks like a glass shard. London has become a giant playroom full of the discarded toys of architectural amateurs. The sad conclusion is that the public will be forced to look at these dreadful constructions for the rest of their lives.
3. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
Tanya Streeter is a freediver. In 2002, she set the world record with a dive of 160 meters underwater on a single gulp of air. It was a great achievement. At the time, she was the first female to break the previously male-held record. She's with us today. Tanya, are you still competing? And do you still need to work on your breathing technique?
Well, I don't, because I retired from competing years ago. But practicing breathing was the most important part of my training. It's the essence of this sport.
Do you have any advice for young freedivers?
Well, when you're halfway through your dive, you just feel the pressure and see nothing round you. Then you hear a voice in one ear saying that you didn't train hard enough to go that deep, and a voice in the other ear encouraging you to keep going. If you want to achieve your goals, the second voice must be much louder. Your mind is a great defense mechanism, and you either force it to be your weapon or else it'll become your weakness. Having said that, I need to add that you must always be under the guidance of a trained coach who can make sure you're safe.
You've spent a lot of time underwater. Has this experience changed you as a person?
In the ocean, I'm tougher and more forceful. On land, I was always rather shy and reserved, but I felt that in the sea, I could do whatever I wanted to. I've always detested gyms because of their specific smell, but I forced myself to work out in a gym 5 days a week so that on the sixth, I could get on a boat and dive in the depths of the ocean. Being able to go down deeper than the week before was what kept me going. It was also my hard-earned reward after a week of boring chores at work.
Why did you get involved with ocean preservation?
Well, as a well-known freediver, I was a patron of different environmental organisations and often acted as a spokesperson for them. Once I ended my career, I began to travel and had time to take a closer look at the amount of litter thrown into the oceans. I was shocked when I saw thousands of bottles floating in some areas. I came across a foundation called Plastic in the Ocean on the web and volunteered to help them. Soon I became really passionate about fighting for nature. In this way, I feel I get the chance to pay my debt to the ocean.
Finally, of all the types of trash that go into the ocean, why is plastic your focus?
Because it's permanent. There is a study that shows that once the toxins from plastic are in our bodies, there's no way to get rid of them. I have to tell you, Ross, I was a bit apprehensive about this interview because most journalists only ask questions about my records or career, which is irritating. I'm not a professional diver anymore and don't feel comfortable talking about the past all the time. I'm delighted that you've given me the opportunity to talk about plastic pollution because it's something that is really close to my heart. I hope we'll be able to intensify our activities, but to do that, we need media attention and public support.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Tanya Streeter is a freediver. In 2002, she set the world record with a dive of 160 meters underwater on a single gulp of air. It was a great achievement. At the time, she was the first female to break the previously male-held record. She's with us today. Tanya, are you still competing? And do you still need to work on your breathing technique?
Well, I don't, because I retired from competing years ago. But practicing breathing was the most important part of my training. It's the essence of this sport.
Do you have any advice for young freedivers?
Well, when you're halfway through your dive, you just feel the pressure and see nothing round you. Then you hear a voice in one ear saying that you didn't train hard enough to go that deep, and a voice in the other ear encouraging you to keep going. If you want to achieve your goals, the second voice must be much louder. Your mind is a great defense mechanism, and you either force it to be your weapon or else it'll become your weakness. Having said that, I need to add that you must always be under the guidance of a trained coach who can make sure you're safe.
You've spent a lot of time underwater. Has this experience changed you as a person?
In the ocean, I'm tougher and more forceful. On land, I was always rather shy and reserved, but I felt that in the sea, I could do whatever I wanted to. I've always detested gyms because of their specific smell, but I forced myself to work out in a gym 5 days a week so that on the sixth, I could get on a boat and dive in the depths of the ocean. Being able to go down deeper than the week before was what kept me going. It was also my hard-earned reward after a week of boring chores at work.
Why did you get involved with ocean preservation?
Well, as a well-known freediver, I was a patron of different environmental organisations and often acted as a spokesperson for them. Once I ended my career, I began to travel and had time to take a closer look at the amount of litter thrown into the oceans. I was shocked when I saw thousands of bottles floating in some areas. I came across a foundation called Plastic in the Ocean on the web and volunteered to help them. Soon I became really passionate about fighting for nature. In this way, I feel I get the chance to pay my debt to the ocean.
Finally, of all the types of trash that go into the ocean, why is plastic your focus?
Because it's permanent. There is a study that shows that once the toxins from plastic are in our bodies, there's no way to get rid of them. I have to tell you, Ross, I was a bit apprehensive about this interview because most journalists only ask questions about my records or career, which is irritating. I'm not a professional diver anymore and don't feel comfortable talking about the past all the time. I'm delighted that you've given me the opportunity to talk about plastic pollution because it's something that is really close to my heart. I hope we'll be able to intensify our activities, but to do that, we need media attention and public support.
Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął.